Hello, this is John Galloway.
And this is Jesse Liberty.
And together we are working on the Full Stack Videocast series in which...
Well, and one of the things we're going to be doing is a very informal, as you can tell, series of videocasts of our peer programming.
Right, so we're going to be working together and writing a full stack application which goes all the way from the database and the server down to phone, Silverlight, web, whatever.
And back, that's right, exactly. And I think we should even admit up front that starting now, we're not 100% sure where we're going to end up, because this is going to be what I call a glass house project, and totally open, and we're going to be documenting it as we go.
So join us.
Thank you.
Okay, so what we've talked about, we want to build something. We've talked about different ideas of what sort of data we're going to show off, but generally we want information that's held on a web server, displayed in Silverlight and Windows Phone apps, and also editable on the web server.
So right, and to start, we're going to start with data that isn't even a direct reflection of what we'll be capturing as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. So when we talked about that, we said, okay, we need some kind of service on the back end, and then it would also be nice to have a web app so that, you know, you don't necessarily need your phone on you if you want to get to this information. And also, just as we're building, we want to be able to tweak the data. So I'm going to create a new MVC3 application. So I'm going to say a new project. So, and this was when we first looked at this. I remember you had some questions about like what all these different application types are. Should we talk about those?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so we've got a web ASP.NET web application. These are all inside a .NET framework for. If I say I want a web application, this is your standard web forms app. So these are where you've got your controls, you drag on a text box, a calendar, a grid, whatever, and you hook up events and that kind of thing. There's also MVC applications, and I'm going to be creating an MVC3 web app, and we'll call this Who Is That? And I'm going to...
Why don't you make that Who Is That Server 2, because
we've already got one, yes.
Actually, why don't you make it Who Is That Server Demo?
Demo, perfect. Okay. So, and now I get my choice here. I can go with an empty web app, which would mean I write all my code from scratch, or I can go with this and I'll get a master page and, you know, get my CSS in place and get kind of a general start. And then we've got two different view engines that we can pick from. ASPX is your standard, your classic ASP.NET view code. So it's the less than percent colon or less than percent equals, and it's what you used before when you were doing yep. text boxes and grids. And it's also what was used for the view code in MVC 1 and 2. So in MVC 3, we've got the option of using Razor. Razor is nice because it's just very focused on HTML. So the idea is to, with as minimal markup as possible, insert code in, but without, you know, making it. So now I've got a standard web app. And if I run this, spin up the web dev server. So we'll look at what's here, and then I'll show how what's running that. And then we'll be creating our own. So I've got a home page and an about page. And these are, you'll notice this isn't about.aspx, it's just /home/about. So that's yep. that's important later on. And then we also have, you know, login, and we've got our basic authentication system. So now if we look at where this home page comes from, that's actually, I'll just move this over to the side here. If we look in our app, we've got a controller named home. Oops, here's my home controller. And it has this message that says, welcome to ASP.NET MVC. And then that returns a view. And MVC uses conventions, so it says, all right, you're in a home controller. And so when MVC renders this, it says, I need a view, because I told it to return a view to the screen. So this, what our controller does is it controls the flow and generally packages up some sort of information, which it passes over to the view, and the view displays it. So in this case, we've got welcome to MVC, welcome to ASP.NET MVC. So I could change that code. Let's just be daring and try that. So if I refresh the page, I go in here and I'll say view model.
Ah, variant on Hello World.
And I've caused some sort of problem.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens now.
The problem is that I think I'm the world, but I'm not.
The problem is that it totally worked, which is
hey,
awesome.
Look at that.
Okay, so our controller has one job, which is to figure out what to do next and generally return a view. So maybe that's two jobs. Our view has a job.
Pretty red uniforms. Yeah.
Pretty red uniforms. So our view has a job, which is to display information, which is passed to it by the controller. It doesn't know anything about where the information came from, and it really doesn't care. So here we say return view. MVC says, all right, you're in the home controller, and your action name is index. So I'm going to assume that there's a view in a folder named home, same name as the controller, and it's named index, same name as the action. So if I look over there, this is this to learn more about blah, blah, blah. So it wrote out the message that I passed to it. That was the data.
Yep.
And then here, this is our cool app. All right. So there we get that, and I refresh this page. Again, here's my cool breakpoint. Oops. And so there, this is our cool app.
That's just great.
All right. And the reason, of course, that it didn't say, hello, Jesse, is because I just changed that in the immediate window. All right. So that's kind of the background of here's our MVC app. And in a bit, we'll be doing this whole CRUD system to manage our users, or whatever we're managing, our miscellaneous unnamed data at this point. So we have a few things we can do next. One is we can build out our data app stuff and do, you know, just continue to build out the web app. Another thing is we're going to be adding on a service. I'm thinking we probably want to build out the web app a little bit more, and then we'll have the service that exposes it. Does that sound good?
That's fine, but where do you start the conversation about code first?
Ah, right about now.
That might organize it better.
Okay, good. So what we want to do is we want to track data, and we have a few different options for doing that. We could MVC here, this data, this has nothing to do with the database at this point. This is just, you know, here's a string and return it to the screen. So we could use anything we wanted to track the data. What we would like to do is use Entity Framework Code First, which is nice because it's very lightweight. We just start writing code and it's automatically saved in a database. And in order to add that to our project, we could go through, download some things, go edit our config, or we can use Nupack, which is a really handy way to add dependencies and things into your project. So if I look at my extension manager, got a bunch of them because I love them, and one of the ones in there is Nupack. So it's this packaging system. And so if I look in my package manager console, which happens to be in there because I use it a lot, but if I also just go to view, other windows, and package manager console, and it's control W, control Z, which I don't know if anyone... I don't know what that stands for, but there it is. So there's my package manager console. So now I can list all my packages. So I can say list package. And if that looks like PowerShell, it's because it is, which is neat. So these are all these different things that I could add into my project. So I could say I want to use, you know, well, I want to add in jQuery. I've already got that. I could add in and Hibernate or Mock or Hammock for using REST or whatever. In this case, I want to add in sqlce.entityframework. I think that looks good. So copy that. So I can type in ab-package, or I can just type in the shorthand, which is that, nap. So when I type this, this is actually going out. It's looking in this catalog, and it's saying, notice my references. I've got a bunch of stuff popping up over here.
Yes, it's adding it for you. It's downloading it and adding it for you.
It's adding references. It is.
And it's finding the dependencies and adding those as well.
Yeah. Now, notice what it did here. It said you wanted SQL CE Entity Framework. That's great. In order to make that run, you also need SQL CE, and you need Entity Framework CTP4. So normally to do all this stuff before, I would have to go out, you know, go to, you know, Google around, eventually end up at Scott Guthrie or Scott Hanselman's blog posts and follow the links and that kind of stuff. Now I just, inside of Visual Studio, clicked on, you know, popped up my package manager. I said, go get me this, and it added it all for me.
Very cool. Much, much easier than binging for it.
Yes, bingling. So here, there's my packages.config. That's where it tracks that. It's also gone through and it's set it up in here, I believe. There's configuration. And so if there's any configuration, yeah, there is. So there it needed to add in this DB provider factory for me, and it did. So that's nice. So now I can start creating a model and making use of that in my app. So if I look, here's my, along with the other things it's added for me, it actually added in this sample model, right? So here's my, it's added in products with IDs and name and price. So I can start using those in my controller. And it's also done something else, which is it's added in this app start thing where it needs to configure, you know, it needs to say, here's my default connection factory. So this red squiggle, I'm going to ignore it. Okay.
Okay. And just because we are recording this, the object on the top is a plain old CLR object entity class.
Yes.
So it's saying any CLR object can serve as the data entity.
Thank you very much for pointing that out. So that is huge. So I'm going to make it huge. It's a POCO, plain old CLR object entity class. And before you could do this, where you would go, you'd either model it out in Entity Framework and generate a database, or you would take a database and say, generate an entity model for me. But either way, you would have this class, and it was a class, but it inherited from stuff, and it had all these attributes, and it was, you know, a huge class normally. Let me see if I've got one available here. If I look at, I don't, drat. Let me do that real quick. If I pop open MVC Music Store, so in that one we used Entity Framework, and we did it the, we took a database and we said, generate a model for me. So if I look in there at, here's my model. Okay, so if I look at my models here, if I look at my entity model, so this is a class, but it's got, you know, a lot of stuff to it. It inherits entity object. It has a lot of attributes. It's got a lot of stuff. And that's fine. It works. It was very quick and simple to do in this project. I didn't have to write any code for it. But it's a little bit extra. So here, like you're saying, this is a plain entity class. And then in order to use this with Entity Framework, I create a context that inherits DB context, and then I have a collection class, which is a DB set of product. Okay, so now I can go into, we're still just writing, you know, demo code at this point, but so now I can say I would like, in my index, I would like I could create a new products controller. So let's go to controller.
Wait, what are we trying to do now?
Well, I don't know. We could either.
Put me on the floor.
Do we want to just keep tracking products for now until we talk more about what we want to really track?
Sure. I just want to understand what we're trying to accomplish when we're doing the next step.
Okay. So I was going to do some CRUD pages to list out our products.
Okay, great.
Good. So I'm going to add a product or add a controller. And so I'm going to call this a product controller. And then I'm going to check this button that says add in some action methods for create, update, delete, and details. So action methods are these things here, action method index, action method about. So since I'm going to be tracking products, I'm going to need to create, update, delete, and have details. So if I say this, it's just going to add in a little extra code for me.
So it's adding the CRUD-D.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Cool.
So I need to, on my index page, I want to say.
So let's just stop here. So it sets it up. It says it gives you this kind of template for what each of these views, how you're going to get each of these views, but it doesn't set up the code for creating the view.
Well, okay, so it sets up the controllers. And the controllers, if I run this right now and browse to product, look, see, I've got my symbols turned on. So now if I go to product, so it's going to bring up the product controller, and it's going to say run this index method.
Mm-hmm.
The index method says return view, and I haven't created an index view.
Right.
So MVC says, look, I tried to do what you told me. I tried to display a product index view, and you didn't create one yet. So
right. In any of these languages.
Right. Well, in any of these places. So right. I can have a view that's specific just for a product. And, yeah, right, languages, all that business. So now let's go in here and create that view. So I think I need to stop this. I'll right-click on this, and I'll say add a view. And then we look before at a very simple view. This whole
just to get us grounded, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But to get us grounded, what we're doing here is we're creating pages and views that the piece that we're looking at right now is being supplied by MVC3.
Yes.
And the entity framework piece has what relationship here? All of this is independent of whether we use that or...
Yeah.
So we're getting this because of that.
Yeah. So they work great together, but they're, you know, you can use Entity Framework with any other technology that you'd like. Entity Framework is a way of getting at data, and MVC is a way of serving web pages.
Okay.
You know, building a web application. And
right.
So a lot of web applications need data, and so they work well together, but could use whatever you want.
But all the controller work that we're doing is MVC.
Yes.
And so far we haven't done any work. I mean, you loaded it, but we haven't actually done any work with the entity framework.
That's true.
Okay.
That is true. So our next steps are we're going to actually start, you know, building up pages to add information to our products table.
Right.
So we looked before. Here is our index for our controller. For our home index, and this didn't have any kind of, this wasn't tied to any kind of data. This was just writing strings out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have this nice product class. We can simplify the code instead of just writing out a bunch of strings. We can simplify the code if we can give it some sort of information about, look, you're displaying products.
Great.
So when I add a view, I'm going to say, add a strongly typed view, and the strong type here is product. So here it's gone through and it's looked at, here are all the public classes I've got available. Product is one of them. Then we have a few different view engines available to us. We have Razor and we have ASPX. So like we were talking about earlier, there's web forms, which is the way that starting back in ASP.NET 1.0, you could do web forms where you had controls, and the controls built out HTML and all that. And they had the standard syntax, which looks like this. So, you know, this ASP colon stuff.
Yep.
And it works like a charm. It's great stuff. But it's a little bit noisy in terms of, you know, like in order to write anything on the page, you've got to do this less than percent equals. And, you know, you've just got a lot of markup in there. You've got this ASP colon content. You've got, so it's okay. But with MVC3, they're like, you know, we can do better. So here it is. So we've got Razor. So we'll look at that in a second. We've got, so the things I want to point out here, we've picked our strongly typed model. It's named index. It did that for us because it matches the controller action.
Yep.
We talked about the view engine. We are going to be showing a list of products on our index. So I'm going to pick this view content of index, and it's going to generate a list for us. And then the one other thing is we've got a master page that it's going to do. So master page is where it has the header and the footer and the navigation and all that. We don't want to retype that on every page in our site. So we're going to...
And that original master was also generated for you.
Right. So actually, before we dig any deeper into this specific page, let's look at that. This was when we created it. We did file new project. This was here. This is our built-in master page. So this includes things like our CSS reference. It has our title. You know, it has our footer. So now let's go back over to, this is the view when I said create new product view, right? So then it looked at, it said you want a strongly typed view that's typed to a product. So it did a few things for me. It said you want a list of products, so I'm going to work with an IEnumerable of product. And then when Visual Studio built out this view for me, it said, okay, I'm going to take a look at a product. Product has three public properties, ID, name, and price. And so it built out this table, built out all this stuff. Okay?
Yep, it's great.
So now I go back and now I've said, okay, this product is going to return a view which shows a list of products. So I need to do a couple of things. I need this view. Oh, I'm going to cut that out there.
You need to start your car.
Start. So this is great, Jesse. What we're doing here is equivalent to starting up a car.
I like it. It's the engine behind all the work we're doing.
That's right. That's right.
And it's trying to horn in on our work.
Right.
So we need to put a brake on that.
Okay. So our product controller needs to, we've made a deal with our index page, which is I'm going to pass you an IEnumerable of products, right?
Yes.
So let's close a few of these down here. So we need to do that. We need to go into here. So I'm going to create a, what was our, I'm bouncing around a bit here. I'm trying not to, sorry. So our context is my product context.
Yep.
It's kind of a dorky name. I'm going to call that just product context. Okay. So now if I go into my controller, let's...
So we're going to point out, by the way, that when you rename that, instead of using the drop-down and saying, yes, rename, you hit control dot, and that's why that went by so fast.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is a cool short.
Okay. So, yes, which is a good point. So next time I do that, catch me, and we'll talk about it more.
I just did.
Okay.
Moving on.
All right. So,
and I want you, by the way, I know you keep saying you're going to cut, I want you to leave all our crosstalk and all of that in. I just think it all works.
Okay. Fair enough. So here I want to add an instance of product context. And when I do that, it gives me this red squiggle, and it says you have done wrong. And so I need to add a namespace reference here. So if I hit control dot, that pops up that little tab. The other thing I could do is kind of try and click on it, but it's hard, and I can't do it. So I just hit control dot, and it pops it up. So that adds in my using. So I'll say product context DB equals new product context. Okay?
Very cool.
And then in my index method, I will say var products equals DB dot products, and I'll return that to the view. Okay, so now remember before I tried to run this and it gave me this view and it said you have done wrong, you promised me a view and you didn't give it to me. So here when I browse to slash products, it's going to go to the index method. It's going to say,
wait, we can't see your browser yet.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just talking about this here. So when I browse to index, it's going to run this method, and it's going to say, go get some products and pass them to the view. And then the view's job is, I don't know anything about anything else. All I know is you're going to give me some products, and I'm going to generate some HTML. So it grabs his product, iterates through, and shows that. So now I'm going to hit F5 here. And
this is insanely great stuff.
I think it's fun. Yes, I agree with you. Okay, so here was our homepage. So I'll go to products. Product index page. So not a whole lot there because we don't have any in our system. But it did try to show a list of all the products available.
And offered you create new.
Create new. Now, if I click on that, I'm going to get that same problem before, which is my controller action.
Right. We don't have a controller for new.
We have a controller, but we don't have a view.
I'm sorry. That's right.
That's it. So if I click on that, it's going to give me this, which I hate error messages, but if I'm going to get one, it might as well tell me something. So here's it's not error X8004005. It's actually telling me, you know, what to do next.
Yep.
So let's go here and create a view. So again, this is named create because it matches matchy-matchy. It's strongly typed to product. We're using Razor. We're using our master page. And I'm going to do a create view. All right.
And that's just too great.
It's pretty nice, huh? And so this is, you know, this is using all these, well, we'll look at that in a second here. Let me run it. I should have kept it running, but I didn't. Okay, so now if I go to product create. All right, so there's that. So here's a form. And now we still need to do a little bit of work to save this data, but let's match this up. So here we've got, you know, it's nice that it's generating out HTML, and this view code really looks pretty close to HTML.
Yeah, it does, and it's very straightforward.
Okay, so anywhere that you see the at sign, that's where it's running some .NET code. We've got, this is called an HTML helper. So we have at HTML dot, and then it's going to generate something for us. So it's going to say, go build out a label to match this. Generate out a validation message for something. So those are
so it generates the label for the ID, then it generates the text box, and it is the same thing for the next one. So the first line there in the first div is corresponding to the label above, and the second div is corresponding to the text box and its validation.
Yep. That's true. Okay. So if I click on create, it's pretending to save something, but all we've done there, when I posted back, we've actually got two controller actions for each, for create and edit, because one displays the form, that's the get method, and the other one accepts the post. So here we actually need to do something with that information we're getting back.
But going up to the one above, don't we need to do what you did before where we
you'd think so, but no, we don't. And the reason is because in order to create, we don't have any data to display.
Okay.
Right? So all we're doing, and so if we look at our create view, it's working with a product, a type of product, but it's not actually binding. So if we look, here's our index. And it actually had to say, go into each model object and get the ID and display it on the screen, right?
So you needed to pass it a product for it to be able to do that.
Exactly. But for create, we don't have anything yet, so we're not writing any properties out, so there's none of that.
Great.
Okay, so now we want to go into our product controller, and we've just posted back, and we need to save that information. And when we built this controller, it's using a very general case, which is just saying like, hey, you just built a controller, you told me to add some create, create, read, update, delete methods. I don't know what your model type is, so I'm just going to give you a form collection. But we can actually, we can improve on that. We can say, well, you're going to get a person.
No, you're going to get a product.
Product, you're right.
We were working on person yesterday, product today.
All right, and you're going to learn to type. So this is using MVC's model binder, And what a model binder does is when an action method is called, it looks at everything that's available, the query string, it looks at the form values, URL, and it says, out of all that, try and match these things, try and figure out a product. And because MVC was the one that built the create form to start with, it already knows what it called all the form fields. So it's able to just magically create a product for me.
Wonderful.
Okay, so now I'm going to perform the actions required by this to-do. I'm going to-do these. So if I say I want to check if the model is valid, so I'll say model. All right, so if the model is valid, then do some stuff. I'll say db dot, and I'm using that entity framework context that I created earlier. So I'll say db.products.add. And I've already been passed in a completely, you know, a hydrated product object, so I'll just save that. All right. And then I've got to do one other thing, which is I've added this to my entity set, but I haven't actually saved anything to the database. So I'll say db save changes. Now it's going to return back to index so that it'll show this that I've actually saved that. Okay.
Great. Yep.
So I don't have to create a view. These are both using that same view. So when it calls redirect to action, that's going to go back to the index page and it's going to list them out. So that is this.
Yes.
And if it fails, if my save fails for whatever reason, then it's going to redisplay the create view. So when I say return view, it's going to say show the create view. And it needs to do that so that it can show my errors and I can fix them. All right?
Yes.
So let's run that. I don't know what we're selling. Let's do ID 1 and we'll sell spaghetti. And we will sell.
Both thought of food. I like that.
You like the food?
Well, we both thought food. That's interesting.
Good. Okay.
First thing that people, I think, do think of. That's very cool.
Okay. So so now we can create and list them. So now I'll go through and do a few more things. Does that sound good? You want to?
Well, in terms of clearly we need to flesh out the details and the edit action. But I think in terms of what we're recording and showing, I think people are going to get it from here, and this was incredibly helpful.
Okay, let me crank out the details and edit just because I can do them so dang fast. Okay, ready? So we want to quickly show off details. So we have that view that showed a list of products, and now we want to show a specific product when you click on it. So we need to do a couple of things in order to do that. One, we need to create that view. So I can say var product equals db.products. And in the past, I used .where, but that's not going to evaluate it. What I need to do instead is do a .find and pass in the ID. So before, I would do where, and I would pass in lambda syntax, and it would return an object set and all that. Here, what I really need to do is do find ID, and that will return a specific product. And then I can go and create. I can say add view of type details. So my view content is details. And I get an H result because that's a neat one. I actually already had done this, so let me delete that so we can delete it permanently. When it says deleted permanently, does that scare you a little bit?
Anything that's permanent scares me.
Okay, so this
I won't even get a permanent in my hair.
I always had somebody, my brother was always trying to talk me into getting a perm. Before all my hair fell out. And at the time, I was like, I don't want to get a perm. And now I wish I'd done it because I can't really. I could get a wig.
You could, but it looks, you know.
Yeah. So the one other thing now I need to do is in my index.
What does that mean? People are going to hear me say that. And they're going to say, what do you mean by that?
I wasn't really listening to you.
Looks good, John. I was thinking about shaving my head so that we could do a series together.
Oh, right. Okay. So like a TV series?
Well, a video series.
Okay, look, here we have in our index method, when we had our list of products, we want to be able to click on those and actually see a specific product. So if I run this now, we're going to get the, if I go to the product list, we have all these, but they don't actually link to specific IDs. And the reason is because we have these action links, and they actually need to be set up to link to those product ID. So I think if we go, so I've done these before, and I hit Control Z, and then I just hit Control Y to pop them back in. So I replace that dot primary key that was commented out. I replace that with product ID. Okay. So now if I go over here and refresh my product list, now when it when this action link helper fires, it actually,
hey,
there we go. And now if I click on details, that's not set to an instance of an object. So let's look at what I've got going on with my details, index, product controller. You know what I did here? Can you spot my mistake?
Yeah, you found it, but then you didn't do anything with
it. That's exactly it. Right? So now, and I did, I stopped my code because I'm actually changing controller code. So see, if you change your view code, that's just markup, and it's script that's evaluated at runtime. So you can do that without stopping your app. But here I actually had to stop this. So now if I go to details slash one, there we go.
Yes.
So if I go back to list, there's my spaghetti, and now I can go to a specific.
Yes, indeed. Excellent.
So what we've done, recapping this, we've created a database magically through the use of unicorns by just setting, we use NewPack to pull in Entity Framework for CTP Magic Unicorn Edition. We created this product context, and when we ran our app, it just magically created behind the scenes, if we say, don't lie to me, show hidden files, it actually created this database file. Okay, so we've got a details view, and what that does is it takes in an ID and it displays information for it. So that's similar to what we're going to want to do in the edit scenario. With an edit, we're going to be given an ID for a product, and we're going to want to display an edit form for it. So here I can say, get me, look up a product by ID and return it to the view. And then now I need to create a view for that. So I'll say add view. This is edit, and it's of type product. And I want to use the edit template. So there's my edit template, similar to what we did before with the create template, except this one is taking in a product. All right.
And taking in a product ID, yes.
Product ID, exactly. So now we want to, we've posted that back, and we want to update it. So again, here I'm going to look up that product, and then I'm going to use something called try update model. So before on, I believe it was create, we used the model binder. And we're doing a similar thing here. We're going to say if try update model, and we're going to pass it in a product. So what that's going to do is it's going to say if we're able to update this product based on the form collection that the user submitted, then that's great. We're done. So save the changes. So then that's what we'll do, db.saveChanges. And then we can redirect to index. So we'll say return. And we'll say index. And then in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say return view.
So if it's not able to, we get another shot at it.
Exactly. So if everything bombs out on our catch, you know, we fall into the catch, we redisplay the form, and it's probably going to show a validation error. Or it's going to say database is offline or something else crazy. If the normal flow is, we'll look up our product, we'll update it using try update model. That's going to use all the model binding stuff that's just built into MVC. And then we'll call save changes. And once that's successful, then we'll redirect back to the list page. And that's that. Let's run that. And we'll see if we actually can edit one. And actually, you know, this is a pain to keep having to type that URL in. So I'm going to pop into my master page and we'll quickly throw that into the navigation. So if we look right there, we've got this, there's my menu. So if, here we can also, this takes three parameters. The first is the name. The second is the action, and the third is the controller. So I'm going to tell it, you know, add this to the top. So now if I go back over here and refresh the page, then from our, you know, from our homepage, I can just click on that.
That's great.
Yep.
Boy, that's easy.
And that's, again, that's the, you know, this is just a feature of ASP.NET, but it's nice to be able to work with a master page like that and have that all set up. So now we want to go into our spaghetti, and we're going to call it, this is Spaghetti Primo.
And gotta up the price now.
Yeah. Let's $6.99.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Save that, and there we go.
These are the important programming decisions. Look at that. That worked beautifully.
It all worked. So in a break with previous tradition, this is all working on the first go-around.
Well done.
Great. Okay. So there's that. I think there's one other one that I've left out, which is delete. And delete is very quick to do. So let me throw that in. Famous last words. Delete. We're going to use the delete template. And that just says, are you sure you want to delete this? And it displays the information. And then on the delete logic, we'll say, we'll grab that item by ID and we'll delete it. So we can do something like that product, and then we can say dv.products.remove. That'll probably work.
Looks good.
And let's see if it actually works.
Wait, do you want to send product or ID?
I think.
Oh, product. I'm sorry. Yes, you got the product back, and then you send that, right?
Yep. There's probably another way, too, where you can say something like dot. I wouldn't be surprised. No, I guess that does. So you.
I want it into. Yep. Okay. Good.
Okay. So let's just see if that works. I make use of my handy product thing on the navigation here, and I will delete that. So it says we didn't get one, and I probably made that same error again, where I didn't look up and return to the view. So let's do that. Let's grab our product. So in order to display the confirmation information, it actually has to say, is this the product you want to delete?
Yes.
All right. Product. Okay, there's my product. I click on delete. Now I get my confirmation. Nice. Are you sure you want to do this? I say yes. And now it didn't do that. It did not delete it. And what I made a fun mistake here. Let's see if you can spot it.
Oh, this is like my final, and I'm not sure I'm going to pass.
Well, I removed it. I did db.remove, and I forgot.
Did you do an update of the database?
Did not. So db.save changes. So that's an important thing. Yes, I do. So that's an important thing to do is when you make a change, these are just collections until you actually do save changes, which is kind of handy. Sometimes you want to get something, manipulate it, sort it, and then just get rid of that collection and not make the update. There we do delete, and it's gone.
Excellent.
I'm going to add it back in just because I'll miss it. There we go.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
So thank you. For Microsoft, this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is John Galloway.
And we're looking forward to talking with you again soon as we make further explorations in the full stack videocast series.
Goodbye.